Hi, your 11s. It's Mr. Shirley again. I'm just making a podcast for you today on unseen poetry and how to get ready to structure your answers. A lot of people seem to be really focused on the poetry question, but on that second literature exam, there is still 24 marks given to you just for analyzing the one of two unseen poems by itself. So it's worth taking a look at how you can very quickly and effectively go over and get ready for analyzing a poem. The poem that I'm going over right now is called Walking Away by C. Day Lewis. So if you want to look online for it, it's very easy to find, so you can follow along. Or if you have your anthology with you, which you should, you can take a look in the love and relationship section because it's actually in there. So just give you a second, find your anthology. Okay, so Walking Away by C. Day Lewis. First thing I'm going to look at, remember smiles, structure, meaning, imagery, language, emotion. First thing I'm going to look for is the structure of the poem and what its overall meaning is as I'm reading through. So what do I notice significant about the poem's structure? Not just its form, not just the kind of stanzas, whether it has a rhyming scheme or not, but the structure in terms of, like you're looking at that language paper one, question three, you know, how are we introduced to a certain topic? What kind of speaker do we have? And as I'm going through that, I'm going to try to make a note to myself what I think the poem's about. And when we say what the poem's about, we don't just mean this poem is about a sad person, but a bigger idea of what are the implicit messages or ideas the poet is trying to communicate. A poem, just like, you know, a piece of art or a movie or whatever, usually they're not just there just to tell a story. There might be some kind of unique idea or perspective or thought that the poet wants to try to explore. Usually those kind of thoughts are about things that are normally very mundane and normal and everyday, and we kind of overlook. So the poet's looking at it in a new way to bring out some kind of implicit meaning and idea that's beyond just what happens in the story, in the poem. So for example, exposure is obviously about soldiers that suffer in nature when they're in the war, but perhaps you could say that the message, the meaning of the poem, more specifically, is about the way that soldiers are treated, the way they lack a purpose, and the way that purposelessness affects them. Anyways, getting on with the poem that we're going to be reading. So, Walking Away by C. Day Lewis. It is 18 years ago, almost to the day. A sunny day with leaves just turning. The touch lines new ruled. Since I watched you play your first game of football, then, like a satellite wrenched from its orbit, go drifting away behind a scatter of boys. I can see you walking away from me towards the school with the pathos of a half-fledged thing set free into a wilderness, the gate of one who finds no path where the path should be. That hesitant figure, eddying away like a winged seed loosened from its parent stem, has something I never quite grasp to convey about nature's give and take, the small, the scorching ordeals which fires one's irresolute clay. I have had worse partings, but none that so gnaws at my mind still. Perhaps it is roughly saying what God alone could perfectly show, how selfhood begins with walking away, and love is proved in the letting go. Now, if I'm just looking at the poem explicitly, we can obviously say that the poem's about a father figure or a mother figure who's kind of remembering their son when they were younger, and maybe feeling a little sad about that memory. But if I'm going to look more critically and look for a deeper meaning, I might look at the start and the ending, about how the poem's really about the realization the speaker has from that memory. So the first thing I'm going to look at in smile structure is when I look at that first line, it is 18 years ago, almost to the day. I can tell right away that the poet's setting up a memory, And they're using a monologue format of a memory to have the one person talking to us through that. And that continues all the way to the end of the realization about how love is proved in the letting go. There's not too much I can say about this, really, but one thing I can definitely say for sure is that because it's the monologue, which is one person talking, just like My Last Duchess, gave you the chance to butt in there, just like My Last Duchess, we have that one person's inner thoughts exposed to us much better. But the only difference being that this one seems a little bit less like someone's talking to another person. That's why it's not a dramatic monologue, but just a normal monologue. Anyways, I'm going to mark that down for myself. The structure seems like a monologue and that the speaker is telling us a memory. Then I'm going to start looking for the imagery and language that enforce the meaning that I came up with. So the meaning I came up with was that the poem is about the person's realization about their memory of that child. Something that was sort of an uncomfortable memory becoming a valuable learning experience. So I'm going to look for language that emphasizes that meaning that I infer in the poem. So one thing I'm looking at right away in the first stanza of the poem, your first game of football, then like a satellite wrenched from its orbit, go drifting away behind a scatter of boys. Obviously we have with like a satellite, a simile. And when I think about that, the imagery that creates gives me image of something, you know, drifting away like a satellite might from wrenching out of orbit. So I'm going to make a note of satellite and get down that the simile gives me a sense of the speaker's loss of control. I'm also going to look at the verb wrenched, because the verb wrenched seems rather violent to me, which might be good for my analysis to talk about how the speaker is left felt to be feeling by this violent, quote-unquote, experience of their child being wrenched away. So if I've been able to, in my exam, analyze the imagery of the satellite, giving us a sense of the speaker's loss of control of their child, as well as the verb wrenched, which reinforced how that loss of the child is a somewhat traumatic, maybe violent experience. To really stretch myself, I might look at the structure surrounding that. There's a little bit of enjambment. We're like a satellite, and we have, continuing on the next line, wrenched from its orbit. But there's also a nice big caesura from go drifting away behind a scatter of boys. So that caesura, if we want to talk about it and analyze it, we could say it gives the poem, it emphasizes the sense of distance the speaker feels from their child. We could also say because it disrupts the rhythm by the enjambment and the caesura carrying over, that disruption could be emphasizing the disruption that the speaker feels. So remember, enjambment and caesuras, they don't always do one thing, but if you think you can talk about how they disrupt a poem, how they add to its flow, as long as you can analyze it and link it into the poem's overall message, especially a poem about disruption, finding caesuras is a very good technique to use. As long as you explain it, you'll get good marks for that. And what I've done, linking the effect of the caesura, the disruption of the caesura, to like a satellite and the verb wrenched, I've gone and got myself a lot of marks, because I'm not only talking about one piece of evidence to show that the speaker feels a sense of loss, but I've tied together three nice pieces of evidence to do that. Carrying on in the poem, I'm going to continue looking for imagery that's brought out by things like similes and metaphors, but I'm also just going to look for simple word choices, language choices, and the inferences I can make for them, you know, what ideas they associate with in my mind. So later down in the second stanza, I can see you walking away from me towards the school with the pathos of a half-fledged thing set free into a wilderness, the gate of one who finds no path where the path should be. The word I might focus in on is, for example, the word wilderness. Obviously, the child's not actually going into the wilderness. They're going off with their friends. So the poet has chosen the noun wilderness to emphasize the fear that they feel as they see the child going off, right? I mean, the poet is always going to choose words that don't literally work in what they're talking about. But when we think about them figuratively, we think about what they connote to us, it helps to explain their actual message. And in this case, the poet relaying their fear when they saw their child going off. The word wilderness is a very good word choice. So I'm not going to, in my exam, say, the poet has done an excellent job choosing the word wilderness. I'm going to say the noun wilderness emphasizes the fear that the speaker feels. And I might also, again, look for any other evidence around there, simple language choices that could give a sense of fear, since that's what I'm talking about. I might look at the fact that there's no path for the child, which would, as a parent, since the speaker is their parent, would logically follow that they'd feel a sense of fear, seeing their child go into a figurative wilderness where there is no path. So both of those pieces of evidence are just simple language choices, but really help to communicate the speaker's feelings in this moment and overall meaning about the speaker's traumatic experience of seeing their child go off with their friends. So right there, I've got two really good points to talk about. I've got the start of the poem giving us a really strong sense of loss with the like a satellite simile, the verb wrenched in the caesura. And I've got a second point about the speaker's feelings of fear when I focus in on the word wilderness and no path. Anything else I look for might just be to reinforce those two points. For example, I might look at the word gnaws at my mind still in the last stanza. The verb gnaws and the adverb still being important to emphasize the pain that the speaker felt. If the question were something about how does the speaker feel towards their child or losing their child, that would be a very good, that would be a very good verb and adverb choice to pick up on. So I've got a good amount of evidence as I've looked through the poem. I've picked up two main points I can talk about the speaker's feelings, and I know what the meaning is beyond the obvious things. All I'm going to do is use that language, those language choices, and the imagery created by compass techniques like contrast, onomatopoeia, metaphors, personification, pathetic fallacy, sensory language, similes. I'm going to look at those techniques and how they reinforce that meaning that I think is in the poem. And when it comes to actually writing this, I'm not going to overthink it. I'm not going to spend too much time thinking about, oh my God, is this, you know, do I have to link to context? Do I have to blah, blah, blah? There is no link to context. There's no link to themes for the unseen poetry. It is purely an analysis of a poem. In a similar way to the language paper one, where you're analyzing the language of the author. But in this case, all it is you're focusing a lot on the speaker and what the speaker is doing. So the speaker's emotions, how the poet uses their words to create a certain kind of persona with the speaker or to communicate a certain idea with that speaker. Remember, like I said at the start, poetry in general is a lot about expressing ideas that are maybe ordinary and commonplace, but using the speaker and specific language choices like wilderness, we can explore a new meaning behind that really ordinary thing. So for this poem, the experience of seeing the child walking away takes on a whole new meaning. Walking away is not just going off with his friends, but the implicit meaning is that speaker's feelings of fear and loss, emphasized by all that language we picked out. So when it comes to actually writing it, don't overthink it too much. Just try to stick to the SQI or PE structure that you've been taught. Peter, if you really get stuck on that, and that's what works for you, just make sure that you're making a strong point. You're not just saying the poet shows his emotions through the use of various language techniques. Make sure you're saying a specific thing that is a feeling or a meaning that is expressed. Make sure you're not just overcomplicating your quotations. Embed them nicely to save yourself time. And then I'm going to explain and infer the effects of those word choices that I've picked out. Obviously mentioning if it's a simile or a verb. And when I'm talking about and inferring the effect of those language choices, I'm going to consider also the effect on the reader. So, strong points that aren't just wafty and repeating the question, quotes that are embedded into your statement nicely, and where you identify the technique, not in a whole sentence. You don't need a whole sentence to say, the poet uses this simile, like a satellite wrenched from its orbit. You don't have to do that. You can more easily talk about a sense of fear is created by the quote, like by the simile, like a satellite, where the poet expresses watching their child drift away, creating a sense of the speaker's loss. That sentence not only includes a point, quotation, terminology, and explanation of the effect, but it saves me a lot of time of writing out those long sentence starters, which will bog you down when you're doing that traditional Peter structure. So, hope you enjoyed that. Hope that was helpful. Good luck on the exams. Bye.